All right, hello everybody, welcome to 8th Right Radio, Gamerscape's Final Fantasy 14 podcast. I'm FusionX, and joining me tonight, we have Steak and Earthdigger. What's up, guys?
Hi-yo!
Hey!
What's with, like, the Cookie Monster intro there, Steak? I was kind of... I kind of want cookies now.
I really don't know what I was going for there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll find Steak in a bathroom stall somewhere with, like, a spoon, cookie dough, and a lighter.
Oh, that sounds so good.
Get out!
Got quite a bit of news since last time. It's been a few weeks, took a little break for the holidays, so I hope everybody had a good Christmas and New Year or whatever. Three Kings Day was today, I think. So today? Yesterday? Yesterday.
I have no idea what that
Sir
is.
Isaac Newton's birthday.
Isaac Newton's birthday.
Same as Christmas.
The best holiday ever. Alright.
We have to be culturally sensitive, you know, to all the people out there.
Who's Isaac Newton's birthday being culturally sensitive to?
To people that don't celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa.
People
or
that, physicists, maybe? anyway.
Atheists, I guess.
Anyway. First things first, we'll get this out of the way. A little bit of news from Gamerscape. We've got the answers to our follow-up questions from our interview with Naoki Yoshida back in October. And you can see that up on the site now. It's a featured post, so you'll see it up in the rotation. A couple things to take away from this. We will see a demi-human playable character in a post 2.0 expansion. This is something that they mentioned in the last letter from the producer live, and people were like, wait, what? Like, demon race or something? Like, what is he talking about? So,
yeah.
There you go. Demi-human playable character. Probably, I think 2.0 is just going to be kind of a relaunch of the game, so I'd imagine the first true expansion is where this would come into play. You know, don't quote me on that, but I think that might be where it's going.
I'm wondering what kind of demi-human races they're talking about. I'm wondering if they're going to let us play as beastmen, like Keekern or goblins.
I think it's only going to be...
They were talking about dragon people or something before.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's only going to be one race. Like, I don't think it's going to be, you know, pick from any of the beastmen or anything like that. And also given the story of, you know, just the way that Final Fantasy has been... I think that there's still going to be somewhat humanoid races. You know, you're not going to have, like, an Ixal or anything like that.
Perogo people.
I just want to play as a frog.
I thought I'd put that out there. Probably not going to happen, but would be funny.
It would be interesting. Square Enix recognizes the need to set up a designated roleplay server. And they said that they'll be looking into it proactively. So that's good news for all you role players that are out there.
Yeah, they would just need to tag anybody
that role plays already knows that Besaid is kind of the place
to
be at.
Right, they just need to
officially
label it.
And we kind of asked about this back in beta. Back at, what was it, E3 2010, 2011? No, not E3, PAX. We asked about them adding support for a roleplay server. And that was back in beta, as I recall.
But yeah, they're definitely and you know, they've said too with the release of 2.0, they're also looking into maybe having language specific servers and, you know, newer servers that for PS3 players, and they're definitely broadening the type of servers that people can play on. Mm-hmm. In terms of language and region and all that stuff, much different than what we have right now. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, back when all the information for 2.0 was released, they had talked about, in the timeline that they had, there was a little bit of a confusion surrounding when 2.0 would go on sale and when 2.0 would be playable, because it said that it looked like players might get access to it before it actually goes out to retail. They said that current players will get prioritized access to the 2.0 client. Saying that they do want everyone to enjoy the new client as soon as possible. Maybe some kind of little early access thing, but, if it's done, they want to get it out ASAP, understandably. And that is it for us. And that'll take us into some stuff from Square Enix over the past few weeks here. New letter from the producer came out, showed us an image of the job-specific armor coming out in 1.21.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool looking.
Heck yeah, it is.
And
I'm really loving the Black Mage one.
Yeah,
the Black Mage armor is looking pretty slick, isn't it? All of it looks slick, though. I mean, Pugilist, it's looking pretty cool.
You know,
the yellow.
Monk was cool until they also released some videos of some new weapon skills. We'll get to those in a little bit. But the headpiece for Monk is weird. It's like this little like peacock feather or something, and you can't even really see it in the picture that they have here with the lava fell.
I'd like to see a bigger picture.
In the weapon skill video that they released with Monk, you can see it sticking up, and it's like, what is that? It's a good thing there's a command to hide headgear. That's all I'm thing looks terrible. Another thing that somebody on our forums, the official forums, some forum somewhere, somebody noted, on the Bard, if you look at the quiver looks like it could be used as a flute.
I recall seeing that on the official forums, yeah.
Yeah, which is, that's pretty interesting. Of course, you know, realistically, how annoying would it get to be like, hold on, I want to play a song, but I got to take all these arrows out of my flute first, you know? Like, give me a second.
Just a sec.
They also said that job-specific weapons will come after 1.21 and will require a little bit of difficulty to obtain. Now, they do show weapons in this picture that they released in the producer's letter. I don't know if those are just going to be like, okay, here's one weapon, or if they're going to introduce more with 1.21 and that's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't really know right now. Something too to maybe note, a while ago in the 2.0 documentation, they talked about legacy items, or you know, Final Fantasy legacy items, which would be kind of like trademark. You know, think of like, you know, you have a Excalibur or Gugner, you know, something like that. They talked about having these kinds of items that you would be able to upgrade, and they would change in appearance and that kind of thing. I don't know if maybe later on after, and that's coming after 2.0. So maybe after 2.0, job-specific armor and maybe these job-specific weapons will have, you know, be part of this legacy system where you can upgrade them or whatever. So Gugner will always be Gugner, but you'll be able to upgrade it and the appearance will change as it levels up and stuff like that. I don't know. That could be kind of cool. So
hopefully better than what they're doing with the Magian trials for the relics and
I don't know. 11. Let's see. Maybe they'll finally find a use for Beastman currency in 14 instead of just eating up our inventory space.
Maybe. I just think it'd be kind of crappy if to upgrade your legacy weapon, you gotta kill 4,000 kobolds or whatever.
You have to turn in 20 brass cogs to the NPC. For those of you who do not have Final Fantasy XIV and actually want to get into Final Fantasy XIV, you can download the game now via the Square Enix online store. It's $19.99. So,
$20.
Yeah, if you don't have any discs, you know, you got a retailer, you haven't gotten it from, I don't think you can download it anywhere else. So there you go. There's a way to get into it now. Patch 1.2A. With the Moogle fight that had come out with the last patch, in order to do it, you know, with Ifrit, you had to fight some NMs and you had to get those tapers to get the lamp or whatever to enter the fight. With the Moogle fight, you had to go around and kill some NMs and get keystones. And not everyone was really happy with how much of a pain the NMs were. So what they've done now is after you complete the quest for one time, so after you do it once, you will be able to get unmarked keystones that'll drop from a variety of different monsters around the Shroud and the NMs. And those can be turned into an NPC and exchanged for the ones needed for the quest. So that'll make that a little bit easier. Also with the A patch here, you can now make repair requests for equipped items. So if you want something repaired, you don't have to worry about, you know, taking your pants off and going pantsless for a little bit while you wait for somebody with a needle and thread to come along and click on you. You can have it equipped on you.
Now, I just have one problem with that, and that's that you can't repair your own stuff with that. So you still need a second blacksmith hammer to repair your blacksmith hammers. You can't have your hammer repair itself, apparently.
That's like the only conflict I would see there, like, is yeah, a blacksmith.
It's the only conflict, you know? But it's just always bugging me as blacksmith that I need a second hammer.
Your hammer.
Every other weapon and tool I just need one of, except for blacksmith.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Couldn't you just use like a rank one?
Well, that's what I normally use, but it still means, you know, extra inventory space taken up and whatnot.
You always go to the repair NBC.
Yeah, but that's all the way over there. And
oh, so you're just lazy. Okay.
It's way over there.
Also, now they've added a little bit of a UI adjustment to the achievements, where now you can see progress towards some of your achievements. So things where you need to, you know, harvest up X amount of things, you know, grade one nodes, or craft X amount of things, attach X amount of material or whatever. Now you'll be able to click on a little arrow at the bottom of that achievement, and it'll show your progress. I don't know why they just don't show the progress to begin with. Seems kind of annoying to have to go and click through everything. But there you go. So now you know how far away you are, or how close you are, hopefully, to getting some of these achievements. New Year's greetings. Last year, you guys might remember, we had an interesting little poem that was posted up. Now we have the second half of it.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Seven waning moons see seven suns rise. Divine order royals, fallen corpses writhe. Souls from aether far, strangers from strange lands. Yester with thine eyes, morrow by thine hands.
That's deep.
Yeah. So there you go. No idea what it means.
Well, I understand a little of what it means, but it doesn't seem to be saying much.
I understand the words moons and suns.
Well, the first line's saying that's about the Seventh Liberal Era. Right. The second line says something about divine orders, the church and whatnot, being disrupted, and fallen corpses writhing. I think that means undead are going to appear. Souls from aether far, strangers from far lands means
empire.
People from far away are going to be coming. Yester with thine eyes, morrow with thine hands. I'm guessing that means, you know, see the past, make the future, you know, something like that.
That's, I would say that's pretty good. It could be it. Who knows? And also they have this awesome picture in this post of Yoshida running away from a dragon as it lights a fire under his ass. It's beautiful.
It's funny.
It's funny, he's got the cigarette in his mouth, he's got the rings on his fingers, right? Running away as the dragon totally is trying to light a fire under his butt. It's beautiful. So this week we have an in-game render of Mail Makote, which
it's pretty sweet. I've been
asking for that for a while. A lot of people, or everyone's kind of 50-50 on it. Some people love it, some people hate it, saying, oh, it's just, you know, the male hire with, you know, cat ears and a tail. But isn't that what, like, isn't Mithra, like, the same body type as a female?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Right, and they're like, oh, it looks too similar to the Mail Makote in 11. I think that's the point, people. Like,
no,
really?
The guy in 11 was far more effeminate.
Well, I mean, you get the idea, though. It's not like it's not a lion. It's not supposed to be like a lion. It's just it's a skinny cat guy.
Cat dude.
You're not getting, like, you know, some kind of Kamari type of thing. Like, people, just chill.
I know a lot of people were hoping for Lion-O.
And it's when you think about it too, it's a lot easier to do this than it would be to make, you know, some kind of bulkier character like that, because they can reuse a lot of the models. They don't need to go back and tweak a bunch of the armor. it's cost effective, which is something that they specifically mentioned, is they needed to look at the cost of adding these other these missing genders. So there you go. I think it looks all right.
I think it looks pretty cool.
I wish they would have put a shirt on him, but you know. And it's curious is that it's an in-game render that we're seeing now, which makes me wonder if maybe we're going to be seeing these as NPCs coming up here soon. You know, I don't think they're ready to introduce a whole nother playable gender into the game. I think they'll be waiting for 2.0 when people can remake their characters and everything. But if they got these guys in the engine now, then we might be seeing them as like quest NPCs or something.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
And now we get to the videos we mentioned earlier, new monk and warrior weapon skill videos. The monk one is kind of interesting. He does like he does a kick and then he like break dances for a second and gets back on his feet. Which is weird. A lot of people are like, that looks really cool, but I think they overdid it a little bit. It looks kind of weird to me. Like it's cool if you just kind of glance at it, but like if you take a minute and like just look at it and the way he's moving around, it looks kind of weird, I think. And then the warrior weapon skill, he pretty much just like spins around with his axe. It's neat, but it's not like, ooh, wow, that's like the coolest thing I've ever seen. You're like, okay, you know, it's
like neat.
Yeah. Like, okay, that's cool. So, I want to see all the Dragoon stuff. I don't care about these other classes, jobs, class, whatever. But yeah, so you can check those out. And here, this is probably what we'll spend a while talking on here. The big one, the elephant in the room right now. Commencement of build services. Yeah, free trial's done for Final Fantasy XIV. If you want to play it anymore, got to fork over the money.
Mm-hmm. It was, what, yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday. Started. A lot of people aren't playing anymore.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, that sucks.
I mean, and they, you know, Square Enix knew that that would happen. You know, a couple weeks ago, we heard that they would probably be releasing some kind of statement or information regarding server transfers in the middle of the month here. So okay. We'll probably be seeing that probably right before our next episode, I think, maybe. But people on the official forums are kind of keeping count to see just how much you know, the server population has dropped. At one time, Wutai had as few as 99 people online.
No way.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, that's so depressing to me.
I think Besaid had, it was like 500 or 600 people.
Oh, that's not too bad.
And I think that's what's some of the more popular servers are going around, but I mean, it's, you know, that's the high though is about 600, and it goes down to, you know, it's like we said, at least as few as 99 being on at once. So, you know, obviously that could vary depending on the time and everything like that. But
was that when that was that was that was that before?
It was after
the change? It was after the change. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's rough. They really do need to merge, for sure. And when they mentioned that they were going to release information about that, they said that in the past, if you look at when they've done merges in 11, is basically, okay, this server and this server are going, you know, or this, it would merge one into the other, right? So there would, you know, one server would disappear, but the other one would still be there. But it sounds like with this one, they may actually give people options. You know, they'll say, okay, here's the, you know, the least populated worlds. We'll let them pick between, you know, these three to transfer to or something like that, which would be kind of nice, you know, give a chance to, you know, hook up with some friends or whatever, maybe that are playing on other servers. So we'll see what happens with that. Hopefully we'll get some information on that soon. But that is it for official news out of Square Enix for the last few weeks here. Some cool stuff. I'm sure, you know, we'll be getting even better stuff in the coming weeks here as we're getting a little bit closer to 1.21 in jobs. maybe some awesome Dragoon stuff. You know, some talk about how awesome Dragoon is. That'd be cool. How all the jobs are terrible and Dragoon is the best, you know. That'd be nice. Just saying. Also this week, and this was mentioned too in our interview with Naoki Yoshida. We had asked him about, you know, they've had in the past, they've had these event where these Garlean soldiers just kind of appear around, you know, a couple Aetherites that are scattered around, and you got to go and you fight them and you get deaspected crystals. And there's a new one now with patch 1.20 where you fight cultists.
Oh, really?
Interesting. They're worshipping Dalamud, the you know, the red thing in the sky, the meteor moon, whatever thing it is.
That's no moon.
It's a space
space station.
But yeah, so I guess they're going around and kidnapping people's daughters, and they're summoning ethereal nodes to escape, which is kind of interesting. So you can go through and click on the nodes, they appear in town too, so you can go click on those.
I'm wondering how often it happens. That's
the problem. And this was why we brought it up with Yoshida, is because the events, it more or less felt random. It wasn't on any kind of predictable schedule.
Well, actually it was. I know the one over at Emerald Moss would happen every 4 days, and then while it was occurring, the event would run every 30 minutes. But right now I've just been hanging out in Odaw.
Okay, so it's not on any type of realistic schedule.
Right.
And what I had asked was, you know, if they can make it so that these happen more, so people know when they'll happen, so they can participate in them. Because these, you know, these events are going to be part of that kind of Seventh Herbal Era thing, where once 2.0 hits, we won't see these again. And I mean, we're not seeing, you know, oh, they were already at, you know, Camp Dragonhead or Emerald Moss. They're not there anymore. You missed it, you know. So
what I think they should do is, the problem is, unless you're hanging around in town, you won't see the NPC talking about it. But they have the NPC Link Pearl system. They could have you get a message from, like, the Path of the Twelve or something like that.
Well, and the problem with this is, too, and I do agree with them to some extent, is they think that by not telling people when it's going to happen, that it'll limit the amount of people that are cluttering in there. You know, it'll help reduce, you know, that. And plus, you know, if they think that kind of stumbling on this or whatever makes it feel a little special. And, you know, I can agree with both of those points, I think. With the one in 1.20 that just came out, the frequency of these events is supposed to be higher than in the past. But I've also heard the NPCs for this will appear in one of the three nations. So if you're sitting in Uldah waiting for Alfgar to pop, you could be waiting a while, and, you know, meanwhile, this could be going on over in Gridania or in Limps of Lominsa, and you wouldn't even know.
Well, this is probably something that could be helped by crafters in your link shell. Just have some crafters sitting.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna camp it, you need to find two other people that have nothing better to do for a day and just camp.
Well, that's why I said crafters, because you can sit there and grind your craft in town.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing today, trying to earn achievements.
Right. Yeah, I just kind of camped out the other day. I was lucky enough, I saw him and did it. Now I'm done. I got the little thing in my history, and I'm good. But, you know, definitely want to make sure to check it out. It's kind of cool. So, yeah. There you go. Let's go back to the build stuff real quick before we jump into bragging rights and everything. Are you guys subscribing?
I'm subscribed.
You're subscribed. Steak, I know you're not.
I think that what they're doing in the game right now, the whole changing world, this stuff that will happen that will never happen again, this actual history in an online game, it's really kind of cool. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have an actual history, this thing happened in the past, and these people were there for it, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like any other online game where, you know, if something happens, you can always go and do that event forever and ever, and everyone right. can see that piece of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could make for some great storytelling down the line.
Right. And I know, Stake, you're not subbed up because you can only have one MMO subscription.
Right.
Are you missing 14 at all?
Anytime new information is released about the game, I do kind of go, aw, you know. But, like, realistically, you know, the amount that I was playing really didn't justify subscribing sure. at the moment. You know, that very well may change, you know, going forward, but at the moment I have to pick.
I got a feeling we'll be seeing an influx of subscribers around patches. I think a patch will come out, some people will come back, they'll, you know, see if it's any better, and then a majority of those people will probably fall back out for a while. I got a feeling it's going to be kind of just up and down for a little bit. But I think, I don't know, I think billing with 1.20 was a mistake. I mean, and don't get me wrong, you know, every patch since the game has come out has done nothing but improve the game. But when you just look at what's in the patch, 1.21, I think, has a lot of stuff that people want. And when I say a lot, I mean, you look at it, okay, there's jobs, there's a couple raids, there's some Hamlet stuff. But, you know, Hamlet stuff we've been waiting for a while, you know, a long time now. Some people, you know, probably forgot about the Hamlets by now. They're like, what are those? you know, new raids is going to be cool since, you know, everyone is, you know, dark holed out by this point. That could probably be taken nasty, but whatever.
Well,
you know, but jobs is the big one, right? Because they said that, you know, one of the things they want to do is make the game feel more like it's a Final Fantasy game. And the jobs will you know, certainly do that. But I think, you know, comparing 1.20 to 1.21, 1.21 has, you know, has beaten the pants off of 1.20.
Right.
Hands down. And to build before that, I think is maybe not the smartest thing they could have done. I realize that they need to start getting some kind of income on this, but you know, if they could have just waited a couple more months, I think they may have been able to keep more people, which is something that they definitely need right now.
It also probably wasn't a very good idea to start billing when Star Wars came out.
Well, that's true. You know, Old Republic did just come out. A lot of people are playing that. And another thing to consider, too, and a lot of people are talking about this on the official forums, is they still haven't released an alternative pay method. Because, you know, right now, when you use an ultimate pay, you're using click and buy. They're supposed to be working on some other, you know, payment method, and there's still nothing. And I don't think anybody is happy with ultimate pay and click and buy. So, you know, it's like, okay,
I haven't even heard of Ultimate Pay.
Yeah, I've never heard of either of these companies before Square Enix started to use them.
At least they made it so you can do Krista in exact amounts now, though.
Yeah, I mean, that's a step in the right direction, but I want my money to go right to SC. I don't want it going through any third-party company I've never heard of, and unfortunately that isn't, you know, that wasn't ready in time for billing for 14, and I think that's hurt them as well. So, I mean, they are working on that. I think that's supposed to be coming soon. I don't know how soon is. So,
yeah, I think I know why they did it, though. You'll recall all the trouble they got into over all those, what's it called, cashbacks or something like that?
I think the reason they're doing it is to just...
Chargebacks, yeah.
Square Enix is just saving themselves from having to deal with chargebacks.
And yeah.
And part of me understands that, but, you know, it's such a pain going through all this stuff. And on top of all this, you need to verify it by Visa card. We know how lovely that was when, you know, they introduced that for 11. So it's just, it's, billing is way more of a hassle than it should be, especially when, you know, in the state the game is in right now, they want to make it as easy as possible for people to get in, pay them, and play the game. So... there you go. It'll take us into bragging rights here for the last few weeks. Somebody want to read those?
Anybody?
I don't have it up. Oh, there's a link right there.
There is.
It's in the notes.
Amazing what you can do with technology.
Okay. And the very first one starts out with the paragraph. Teagle of the Lindblum server got 6 of the Ifrit weapons.
Wow.
And he has gotten the Luminary Hatchet. So, wow, congrats. Let's see. Sneak Attack finally got all Disciplines of War and Magic to cap and got the Paragon's Crown. Figured out there are other sound aggressive mob-ups that you can walk by with no danger. They got the bow and harpoon from Ifrit. Found every available 8th right node. Wow, congrats, that's difficult. Made the Immortal Flames Yesterday Hero page. And finally got to party with Fusion X.
Wow.
That's true. I forget what we did, but I know we were. It was Ifrit or Darkhold or something, I think.
Awesome.
Let's see. Next one's mine, so I'm going to skip that.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Yeah. oh, crap. How do I pronounce this? Shauri Elemente finally got Gladiator to 39 and got a set of armor and shield they've been wanting since day one. And they're hoping to work on more crafting this week.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen people with some of the Luminary tools already. Those people are crazy.
Crazy.
That's a lot of work to get those. And they're huge, too.
Yeah, I've only gotten through the first achievements for each one, and wow, that's a bit of a pain.
It's essentially re-leveling the job again, or the class to, like, you know, pretty damn close to cap. That's how much stuff you need to do. I mean, I saw a Weaver with the Needle of the Luminary, and it's actually, it goes on your back like a shield because it's actually a lot bigger than the other ones are, which is kind of interesting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay. But, yeah. But, man, I like the achievements. It's cool. A lot of people walk around with the, you know, you got a lot of crowns and stuff like that. But the people that have the tools already, wow. Like, have they slept since the patch came out?
I can't wait until they make it so you can view other people's titles. Because a lot of the achievements
you can
are really different. You can?
In check.
Oh, well, that requires the other person to check you, but, you know, some of these achievements are very difficult to get, like the one for reaching every single 8th right node. Have you tried going to some of those camps?
You know, I actually, the past few weeks, I got all the side quest stuff done. I got the side quest achievements, and I was going to start doing the 8th right ones. Whoever decided to put, like, 3 level 70 drakes in a narrow passage right before an aetherite is a very cruel person.
Yes, indeed.
Because there's no way you can get past those.
I hear drakes are one of those sound aggro mobs that you can just walk past.
Are they?
Yeah. Thankfully, a lot of the ones on narrow passages are like that. But it still gets really ridiculous at times. Like, you'll have, like, level 90 mobs everywhere.
Right.
And then it's sight aggro. Or even worse, true sound.
Maybe I'll go back and check some of that. But yeah, it was one of those,
or,
like,
what's worse is when you're going towards a camp and the mobs haven't zoned, haven't appeared yet, and then suddenly they appear and you're just surrounded by monsters.
See, I usually have the opposite thing. I'll go in and they'll take too long to load, and by the time they load, I'll be past them. So, you know, it's kind of like I'll be going through an area and nothing's loaded. I'll just be like, I'm going to go through this as fast as I can.
Maybe I should play on wireless again and try and do that. Because I've been playing with a wired connection because I play as a conjurer. I'm the healer. You know, if I take a split second too long, people are dead. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe I should do that.
There you go. But, yeah, lots of stuff to do with it. I mean, and, you know, the achievements are nice. You know, it gives you kind of a guide of things that you can do, but all that content was already there. It's not new content. It's, you know, hey, do this stuff that was already in the game and get a title or get a crown or something. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's nice. The only thing that stinks is I'm a big fan of earning achievements and trophies and stuff. So it's like I looked at some of these and I'm like, oh, I don't know about that one. Like, do I really want to go and do that? So,
like what?
Like all the crafting and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I don't think I'm going to get that into it. You know, stuff like the side quests or A threads. Yeah, I'll go for those, but I don't, you know.
I think putting 5 materia into an item one is going to be pretty damn difficult.
You know, I've actually seen a lot of people with that crown.
Really?
I think if you just do it on like low level gear, is what
even
I would
on
assume
low level
doing.
Gear, doesn't it get down to like a fraction of a percent by the time?
Oh, I'm sure it does, but it's less expensive to repeat the process.
True, but that's still a lot of buying.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Get that crown, you can have up to +3 spirit bond gain, so. In case anybody out there really needs, +3 spirit bond gain, maybe somebody does.
I think that's a case of something that would really come in handy trying to get it instead of after you've already done it.
Right, yeah.
It's like, you had the spirit bond so many stuff to do that in the first place.
You just busted your ass to get this achievement. Allow us to give you gear that would have made that easier. Thank you. Isn't that always how it is, though? It's like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, look at the tools. It's like you have to craft a bajillion different things in, you know, in each level range. And then what do you get? You get an awesome tool that would have made that a lot easier.
Well, no, not really. Because past a certain point, a tool only helps you so much. Like, standard actions can only take you up 20% at most. Rapid, only 30% at most. Assuming you're doing the lowest bit you can so that it's easiest for you, better tools wouldn't really help too much more.
Gotcha.
And besides, you can use those tools to help you get better HQ rate, I guess, or something.
And there you go, then. All right. Host in-game. I think we kind of went over this a little bit already. Earth, what do you have?
I've been going nuts since the last time I was featured on Bragging Rights. I went and took my Conjurer up to 50 from 25. I just soloed most of it. Went and did every main quest and every side quest along the way. By the way, the rank 42 main quest, it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also finally went and completed my insane goal of beating both the Darkhold quests for the nations that I'm not joining, because I'm one of those OCD people who can't stand missing out on a quest. But I finally did that, so I finally was able to allow myself to join a grand company and got my own chocobo. I joined the Twin Adders, by the way.
Of course you did.
Well, hey,
everybody joined the Adder. I don't get that. Like,
three reasons.
Nobody started it in Gridania, but everyone is going to Gridania for grand company.
Three reasons. First, Limsa and Ul'dah keep fighting each other. And second, Gridania is all about doing what they have to do. And third, it's the first line of defense. It's the closest to the Empire. They're going to go there first. And so, I mean, it makes tactical sense to beef up the front line.
Yeah, but Ul'dah has Cid.
Everybody has Cid.
Shh. No, it's only Ul'dah.
Because Ul'dah everyone has Cid.
No, only Ul'dah.
Gridania has fireworks.
We have Cid.
Gridania does have... Limsa has boats. Limsa has boats.
And now all they do is sit there. They've sat there so long in port that they're actually marked on the map in their shops in town because they don't go anywhere. They may as well be buildings.
They are buildings.
They're ships. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah, that's what I've been up to. Just finally catching up on where everyone else is at.
I've been trying to fight Ifrit. I have not been able to beat Ifrit since 1.20 went up. I don't know what it is, but every group I've gotten into has not been able to beat it.
It's nerf or nothing.
The high level one or the low level one?
The high level. The low level one. Come on. No, the high level one.
I've almost got access to the low level one.
I see.
I just need to get off my rear and go kill those last two NMs.
Yeah. But I don't. It's like Diablos from 11 all over again. You think you're doing well, and then just something just happens. It feels like he just cheats and
what
you
a
die.
Pain that fight was, huh?
Oh my god!
Like it's casting nightmare and hitting everyone
in
the room.
It's like, oh yeah, we're fine, and then he'll throw up like three plumes under you right as you get into an animation lock or something.
Like no.
It's oh my gosh! It's frustrating. It's very frustrating, and the lag in the fight too is just terrible. Which doesn't really help anything. But,
Horrible.
Pretty much. I was looking into, maybe grinding Grand Company seals. They got a real nice, sash. It's got, like, dex and accuracy on it for the Immortal Flames. But that would require a lot of seal grinding, and it's. No.
Did you ever manage to, beat Patrol?
No, not yet. I haven't gotten a Dark Mage group for a while.
I managed to.
Yeah, I hear you. You went in there and you're just like, oh, let's just fight him first try and blah, blah, blah. I'm jealous, hate you, you know, etc.
Hate!
But, yeah, I was in a party a little bit today for my archer, then my client crashed, so I'm just like, meh. I took a nap. Oh. One of these days, I'll get a level in it. I think it's like 34 or 33, something like that. I might just wait for Bard at this point, I think. I don't know. That's pretty much it. Been doing, you know, did the events. Got my reindeer costume that I'll never wear. Got my Kabutos that I'll never wear. So. There you go.
Kabuto.
I was waiting for that. That'll take us into email here, then, I guess. Steak, you want to take that?
Sure. Second.
He's like, I'm just going to say sure for 5 minutes while I open
sure.
up.
Sure.
It's also in the outline.
Yeah, I have it here. Hang on, I gotta go down.
Have you ever seen College Humor's Dinosaur Office? You know the site College Humor?
Right? Oh, yeah.
Videos, they have a series called Dinosaur Office. They actually, they made it for the 3DS, but you can watch it online, too. And they always, like, talk, and at the end, they'll just, you know, they'll be like, how was your weekend? And he's like, I was in my garden. Like, just, oh, my God.
Oh.
It's a ridiculous series.
All right. First email comes from Toki Rage. Of Cornelia says, first and foremost, love your talk show, being one of the first few for this MMO. It's nice to hear your very unbiased opinions about the game. Thank you for that, and please keep it going. What I want to know is what you guys think about this new search feature they've implemented into the game. Since it came out, I haven't seen many people using it. It seems its use or lack thereof is mainly for level 50 boss fights and less for getting a group together to EXP. Another concern is they have once again added a language feature. This wouldn't be a problem, but the day after the patch was released, I saw my first JP Onry comment. And of course, we all know the dread of this from Final Fantasy XI for English, French, and German players. What do you guys think? Does it feel like Square Enix is promising JP only, or promoting, rather, JP only? And do you guys think this search feature will just be another unused grouping feature, much like the god-awful original Final Fantasy XIV party feature? Thanks. Signed, Toki Rage of Cornelia.
I want to start by saying that I found it very useful. The trick is to level Conjurer because everyone looks for a healer. When I was leveling Conjurer up, I had to turn down party invites left and right when I was trying to do main scenario quests that would give far more XP. But yeah, it was a godsend when I was actually looking for parties. I'd just sit around 5 minutes.
Yeah. I you know, compared to how it was before, search is definitely better now. It feels like it's fallen victim to the same issues that the system had before, where no one's using it.
Right. A search feature can be amazing, but it can fail if no one's using it. I mean, it just really kind of depends. And if people catch on and start using it, it'll be tremendously helpful.
You know, it could be that, you know, so many people are just used to shouting or something now that they don't bother flagging up. Or
what I've noticed that's been happening is a lot of people are using the system, but then they shout as well. So it kind of looks like no one's using the system because you still see all the shouts and the. But people are using it. They're just shouting as well.
Hmm. That could be.
See, my question is, what makes the search feature in Final Fantasy XIV less useful than a more primitive search feature like Final Fantasy XI?
C commands.
C commands. Yeah, that would be helpful.
We need C commands.
Yeah, that would make it so much better.
And they need to... I've been having problems trying to figure out when you search for something. Say, you know, you search for... Well, and there's different statuses too, right? Like, when you search, you can search for people in a party, looking for a party, and online is one of the options. Why would I search for... You don't get offline people. Why is online even a...
You're not going to message somebody that's offline, say, hey, you want to partay?
I don't know. That seems weird. But, I mean, if you, you know, you search for, okay, people, you know, whatever, this level range, whatever. I don't get how it arranges the results. It's not alphabetically.
What if they had, like, an Android app where later on you'll be able to, like, search for people that just have, like, the Android app open so that you can send a party invite to someone who's not actively or not in-game at the moment but would, you know, be able to reply and saying, yeah, sure, I'll join.
Doesn't make sense. Why would you do that?
I don't know. why wouldn't that make sense?
Invite somebody from a phone? Why are you on your phone if you're on the game? Like, why wouldn't you just do that from
if you're
game?
Not in-game. No, okay, let's say I'm not logged in, but I have the quote-unquote Android app on my phone, and I showed up in, like, that a different type of status, and you could invite me to a party, you know, just from...
But you're not in the game.
In-game. I know.
Well, you could send them a tell and say, hey, get your butt online.
You want the ability to chat. You want the ability to talk with them, is what you're saying.
That'd be cool. I mean, right?
Maybe.
Be invited to a party.
Well, you can't be invited into a party because you're not in-game. You can talk to anybody you want. I mean, assuming they had some type of chat client. But you wouldn't be getting into parties and stuff. You'd need your character to log in to do that.
I know, but you could say, I'll be right there. Sure, I'll join. Or change your status to looking for party from a cell phone. I mean, that actually doesn't make very much sense, but... Hey, I'm just throwing stuff out there, okay? Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're doing something else on your computer and you have to run 14 full screen, and so you don't have it up at the moment. I don't know.
Who knows?
No.
Going back to the language feature, you know, it's... I can see why some people would have an issue with it. You know, there is that whole JP only, you know, thing. But really, I think they need it. You know, there are, especially now, because, you know, it's not like we have, you know, a German server, a French server, a Japanese server, an English server. It's just servers, right? So you want to find people that you can communicate with.
Right.
And you know, don't get me wrong. Not everyone is like that. Some people are all about, you know, playing with, you know, people from all over the place. You know, even if you got to try and figure out some type of pseudo communication with, like, the autotrans stuff.
Well, it depends what you're doing, because there's only so much you can do with autotranslate. I could, like, personally, I'll party with anyone for an XP party, but if like I'm doing Darkhold, or if I were to do Ifrit, I'd want to go to people with that I can communicate with without using the auto translator, simply because they require a lot more strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I think it needs to be there. I think maybe once we get those, you know, region specific servers or whatever, maybe they, even then they'll probably still have it, you know, included, but it would be less of an issue in terms of finding groups, I guess. I don't know. Well, even then we'll have the you know, once 2.0 hits, we'll have the stuff to for auto grouping or whatever. So who knows. Good email. You want to take that that last one for us, Jake?
All right. Hey, guys. It's Lady Lindsay. I just wanted to see how y'all are doing and talk a little bit about the state of Final Fantasy XIV. I've not been playing much since SWTOR came out. A part of me says, screw Final Fantasy XI. There are games out now that have much more content and a bigger community. But a part of me can't let go of Orzea. There's just something about the world that Square Enix creates that appeals to me on a primal level. I made it funny. At any rate,
I see.
Yeah.
It's clever. Primal.
At any rate, I'm having a hard time deciding if I want to flip the Switch and turn on my Final Fantasy XIV account. I've seen Fusion tweet about new content, cultists, etc. What is your honest non-fanboy opinion? I can't afford two games, but I'm torn. You know what they say, you can pick your nose and you can pick your friends, but you can't get pregnant if you never leave the bathroom.
I actually don't know what they say, apparently.
You can't. Well, I suppose that's true if you never leave the bathroom.
No. You know, I think the best thing to do right now, a lot of people are kind of in this position where, you know, and maybe even this exact position where they're playing Star Wars and they don't want to have to pay for multiple MMOs. So, you know, 14 is out. The best thing you can do is keep an eye on the official website. Keep an eye on the fan sites and the fan site forums. And once a patch comes out, see what people are saying. If it sounds good, drop Tor for a month, pick up, you know, 14 again, see if you like it. After that month, decide if you're going to go with it or go back to Tor for a little bit. You know, and while, you know, if you do pick up, you know, 14 for a month, go through, you know, check out any 7th Umbral era stuff. And then, you know, because that way you won't miss out on that, and then go back to playing whatever. You know, you can't argue that Tor is a really good game. It's very well put together. There's a lot of content in it, a lot of fun stuff, a lot of stuff that 14 unfortunately doesn't have right now. But that doesn't mean that it won't get it at some point.
The way I see it is the content that's in the Old Republic, it'll still be there if you leave and come back to it. The stuff that's going on in 14 now, if you leave and come back in several months, that content will be gone. So if you're someone who cares a lot about the lore and the history of the world and all that, and you know you want to be there for the big events, then I'd say at least pop in to Orzea every so often to check those out. Yeah. I'm not saying you have to stay here full time. You know, I know the game isn't finished yet, but you know that. Check out new stuff every so often, you know? Keep your feet wet.
I really think that the people that are interested in 14 and that want the game to succeed will be coming back after each patch for at least that month. But it'll definitely be up and down in terms of players until 2.0 for sure, though. So, I don't want to miss the 7th Umbral era story, so I'll be here. So, and that's it.
That be all the emails.
So there you go. You guys have anything else to add?
Nothing I didn't already add in the show.
I have nothing.
No. Okay.
No.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of Eighth Right Radio. If you want, you can send us emails, questions, comments, whatever. EighthRightRadio@gamerscape.com. You can also tweet at us, EighthRight_radio. Check out our websites. We have radio.gamerscape.com for the podcast hub. We also have ffxiv.gamerscape.com for all your news, wiki, all that good stuff. Make sure to check those out. And we'll see you next 2 weeks from now. It's hard to break. I'm FusionX. Thanks to Earth and Stay for joining us here tonight. We'll see you here in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.
Take care, guys.
Good night.